Let's just bow our heads in order of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and God, we ask you to be with us now, Lord, as we read your word. Father, may you speak to us through it, Lord, and bring understanding, teaching to us, Lord. And we ask your blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you would turn me in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The last couple of chapters that we had read was Paul was speaking about the gifts and that working in the body, but in this particular chapter he deals with the speaking in unknown tongues and that and prophesying. So let's read verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, whether piped or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be ye not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. In the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips shall I speak unto this people, yet not all that will they hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not them which believe not, but them which believe. If therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those which are unlearned or unbelievers, they shall say, ye are mad. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one learned, unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is with you of truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, have a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by it, let the first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For if God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints, let your women keep silent in the churches, where it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as saith the law, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What, came the word of the Lord out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. You may be seated. Before I go to the actual meat of this chapter, let me just come down to this little portion first here at the end, where Paul is saying, let your women keep silent in churches, for not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, when you go into the law and you look, you're not going to find anything that says, let the women keep silent in the churches. So how can Paul say, as saith the law? It's because in the law, it gave no place for the woman. So therefore, Paul could say, so saith the law. Now, women keeping silent in churches, what this is speaking of, and what Brother Branham points out, and Paul's on it, it's talking about women preachers. It's not saying that a sister can't sing in the church, or that a sister can't give a testimony in the church. That's not what it's saying. But what he's talking about is women getting up and preaching, or trying to teach in the church. And so that's what this is speaking of. Now, let me get to the actual meat of this chapter. It is talking about speaking in unknown tongues. Now, Brother Branham says in Seeking After Jesus, Brother Branham is actually here. He's begins to speak about actually how that the Spirit of the Lord works through him as a prophet in revealing the secrets of the people's hearts. And we know that Brother Branham would, in the prayer lines and that, Brother Branham would tell people their name, he would tell them where they were from, he would tell them things that had happened to them, things they had did, things they said, and that. And Brother Branham brings this out, and he's speaking of this in this message, Seeking After Jesus, and he says, now, if Jesus is here with us tonight, And if you've respect unto him and to the Father God, and will ask God, God can reveal himself down here to you tonight, just as he did in his church, as he could in the days gone by. He sent his gifts in the church. Many different gifts he put in the church. One of them is that he could speak with unknown tongues and let someone interpret it, and it would be directly to someone and would be the truth. And the Bible said, but if you all speak with tongues and there's no interpreter, you would sound like a bunch of barbarians or something. But he said, if one would prophesy and reveal the secrets of the heart, then they would fall down and say, God is with you. Well, then that same spirit that was in the Corinthian church, even as in the church tonight, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he'd be that type of person. So Brother Branham, dealing with this in this message, is talking about, like Paul, the greater thing is that the Spirit of God would come and through an individual would prophesy and tell the secrets of the individual's heart, rather than, having people just pop up in church and begin speaking in unknown tongues. Now, Brother Paul is saying here that if people are speaking just in an unknown tongue, somebody in the church just up and speaks in an unknown tongue, and there's no interpretation, then the church is not edified, because nobody knows what's being said. They don't know what the person's saying. He said, if a person speaks in an unknown tongue, the only one that's getting edified is the person that's speaking in the unknown tongue. But Paul actually says even that speaking in an unknown tongue, that even for that person, it's really not fruitful. And so the thing that I want to point out from this meeting is that, there was many in the denominations that they said their evidence of having the Holy Ghost was actually, they'll say, speaking in tongues. But what they're actually talking about is speaking in unknown tongues. In other words, speaking in a tongue that nobody understands. That they're saying that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Is somebody getting up and you say, well, they pray over and receive the Holy Ghost, and they try to urge them to speak in an unknown tongue. Which they say is a spirit speaking through them, and said that when they speak in an unknown tongue like that, then it's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But the thing about it is, that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible says. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And let's look at the very first time that the Holy Ghost actually fell and came on people. And so we know this is in the upper room. Now, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. So the first thing that happened was that there was a sound that came through the room, a wind, like a rushing mighty wind that came through the room wherein they were at. And then it says, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. So as this wind, this rushing wind is going through the building, Brother Adam says, there appeared, they saw tongues of fire. Now, it wasn't late that they spoke in an unknown tongue, or that there were unknown tongues flying around the room, but it was describing what this fire that was in the room was in the shape of a tongue, like a tongue of fire, not like a tongue that's in a person's mouth, but it was the description of the fire, that it was a tongue of fire, and there were tongues of fire that were going around the room, and then these tongues of fire came and rested on each one of them that were in the upper room. And then it says, verse four, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But now watch, it says with other tongues. Again, it didn't say in unknown tongues. And it goes on to say that, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them in his own language. So they weren't speaking in unknown tongues. They were speaking, and these men and women that were around them there heard them each in their own language. And verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not these all which speak Galileans? So if they were all Galileans, Peter and this other, the other 119 that were with him up in the upper room, if they were all Galileans, then they would have been speaking in that language. That would be their language. They would be speaking in Galilean language. But it says, how are they not all Galileans? How hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? So it wasn't that they were speaking in unknown tongues when the Holy Ghost came on them, but when the Holy Ghost came on them and they came out of the upper room, they were speaking in other languages. And because there were, now let's go on here. It says, how and wherein we were born. Now look at verse 9. And I may not be able to pronounce all these correctly, forgive me. But Parthians and Medians, Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and in, I can't say that word, I'm sorry, Cappadocia, I should have looked this up, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and, I'm sorry, I should have been better at pronouncing all these. But if you read down through here, they were all from different, there were people all from different places, even Crete and even Arabians. So each of these people were from all these different places. They spoke all different languages, but when they came out of the upper room, all these ones were hearing them in the tongue, not in unknown tongues, but in the tongue wherein they were born. And so then you realize then that they marveled at this. And then, I'm sorry about that. And then Peter speaks and says, speaks to them, preaches to them. And you know, there were thousands of people that were there. And Peter speaks to them. And Peter is a Galilean. And they understand what Peter says. So you realize that actually it was a miracle that happened, that these people from all these other lands and that could understand what was being said. It wasn't that they came out. Look, if they'd have came out speaking in unknown tongues, then none of these people would have been edified by it. None of these people would have understood anything. None of them would have come and accepted Jesus Christ. But the Bible said they did. Many of them accepted Jesus Christ and continued with the apostles. And from Peter preaching and this happening. And if they would have been speaking in unknown tongues, then none of these people would have understood anything they said. None of them would have been edified. They would not have received anything from it. So what the Bible is saying, the Bible never says here that when they got the Holy Ghost, they spoke in unknown tongues. Now, turn with me, let's go on down, because I want to go to a scripture in Acts 10, and we'll begin reading verse 44. And this is where Peter goes to Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius' house was in Caesarea, and Caesarea was predominantly inhabited by Greeks. And we realized that Peter went down there, it was going to the Gentiles. And you remember that Peter had received a vision that God has spoke to him and told him in this vision, don't call anything unclean, which I have clean. And it was God actually speaking to Peter that he was going to send him down there to Cornelius' house. At the same time, God was speaking. Now look, Cornelius was a Gentile, and Cornelius didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, but Cornelius was hungering after God, because Cornelius tells him that he was actually praying and fasting to God. And so then the Lord speaks to Cornelius and says, send to Joppa for one that is surname is Simon, who's called Peter, and have him come and he'll teach you. And so at the same, God, the Holy Spirit was working on both ends. And so then we find here that Peter comes down and he preaches to them there at Cornelius' house. And now look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now listen, this is one of the scriptures that people that believe when you get the Holy Ghost that you speak in an unknown tongue and that's your evidence that you got it. This is one of the scriptures they go to because it says when they got the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues. But the thing about it was, it didn't say they spoke with unknown tongues. And Peter says that what happened, he says, they received the Holy Ghost just like we did. So you realize there were Greeks and different ones that were there, and as they begin to speak, these other ones understood what they were saying. So it wasn't that this whole teaching about, you know, speaking, and we realize there is a gift of speaking in unknown tongues. But as Paul says, if a person just speaks in unknown tongues and there's no interpretation, then nobody's edified by it. And Paul actually says this. He says, you're just speaking into the air. That's how Paul describes it. And you know, I'll tell you this, and I say this with, you know, with all respect. I don't mean to disrespect these people, but I've been around people who believe this thing about speaking in unknown tongues, you know, and the thing about it is, you know, I've even had them be around me, and you go up to shake their hand and talk to them. When they're talking to you, all of a sudden they just start speaking in an unknown tongue, and then they go back to talking to you, you know, and it's a, you know, what? Why do they do it? They, you know, the thing about it is, you know, you realize, and look, I know there's a true, real gift of someone speaking in what Paul calls an unknown tongue. You know, some people call angelic tongue. Some people call it, a heavenly tongue or tongue of the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, they'll call it. But the thing is, you know, they actually speak. And when they speak, you know, you don't know what they're saying. You don't understand it. But then, you know, if the Spirit then moves on somebody to interpret what was said, then the people understand what was said and they can be edified by it. But now, I've also heard people, you know, somebody speaking an unknown tongue and an interpretation come, and the interpretation, all it is just somebody reciting things out of the Scripture. Well, what use is that? We can read the Bible. We don't need the Holy Spirit to come speak in an unknown tongue through somebody and give an interpretation of something that we can read right across the pulpit, or you can read at home. That's not, Brother Branham said, that's not how that works. But it's actually saying, it should be giving some type of, as Paul says, an exhortation or comfort to the people. Something that would edify them. And I tell you, I have witnessed it, You know, I have witnessed the true, and I have witnessed the false. I have witnessed people that, you know, that speak, they're talking, I'll tell you this, and I don't mean this in disrespect, but, you know, when they go to speak in tongues, some of them that believe this especially as being an evidence of the Holy Ghost, they always say the same thing. They're always repeating the same words. You know, and it's I've actually heard the real where I've heard somebody speak in tongues and an interpretation come, and when this person speaks in tongues, it's not always just the same words being said. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, I believe in speaking in tongues. And Paul said, he said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. You know, and Paul even brings out, you know, that, you know, a person can be praying maybe even at home. And while they're praying at home, and Paul points this out in another scripture about the Spirit giving utterance through them. And saying things that they don't even know what they're praying, but it's the Spirit praying through them. And so we believe in that. But the thing about it is that, you know, this speaking in unknown tongue, it's not an evidence of somebody having the Holy Ghost. Because Brother Branham says that he's actually been amongst witch doctors and that spoke in unknown tongues. And he said, so you can't tell me that's an evidence of the Holy Ghost. But the thing about it is, when you go through this, you see, and look what happened to them in the upper room. The first thing that happens is that there is a wind that comes. Then the second thing that happens, there is tongues of fire. Not people speaking in unknown tongues, but actually like little pillars of fire that come and rest on them. And then it says, then the third thing is, then they receive the Holy Ghost. Now, these tongues of fire, it says, it rested upon them. It didn't say it went into them. It didn't say they spoke in an unknown tongue. But it was actually describing fire. But then when it says they spoke with other tongues, again, it didn't say unknown tongues. They spoke with other tongues. And these other tongues were languages that could be understood by all these different people from all these different nations that happened to be there when Peter and the others came out of the upper room. Now, Brother Branham also, he brings this out. He says, he asks a question. He said, now, you know, if, he said, we've got to get rapturing grace. Now, this is actually, I'm taking this from a message that Brother Branham preaches, Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, 1959. And it's in the it's in the COD book, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. And he's bringing this out about, you know, speaking in an unknown tongue, and it was actually another language, and he's bringing out how that speaking in an unknown tongue, how could that be the evidence of somebody getting the Holy Ghost? And then Brother Branham asked this question, and when I was reading through this today, I thought, you know, when I came across this, I thought, I never thought of this before. And I thought, well, my goodness, the next time I get around somebody that believes that speaking in unknown tongues is evidence of the Holy Ghost, I want to ask him this. Brother Branham says, he says this, he says, what would a man do if he was deaf and dumb and couldn't speak at all? Could he receive the Holy Ghost? So Brother Branham said, look, what if a person was actually physically unable, incapable of actually being able to speak? Brother Branham even goes on, he says, what if he didn't have a tongue? He said, you know, to begin with, and the poor fellow wanted to be saved. The poor fellow wanted to have the Holy Ghost. Then if there was a person that's like that, then if you had to speak in tongues as an evidence of having the Holy Ghost, then this fellow's left out. And I, when I read that today, I was just astounded at it because I thought, I never thought of that. You know, with all of my discussions about this and preaching on it and all these things, I never thought about that. What if a person was physically incapable of speaking? Couldn't they get the Holy Ghost too? And I thought, my, it took a prophet to bring out something just so simple. You know, but yes, the real meat and what I wanted to get to of this chapter was this about, and Paul says, you know, he said, I would that you would prophesy. You know, when a person prophesies, they're actually given a message. They're actually, you know, given a message. Brother Branham even said that, you know, that prophesying and revealing the secrets of the heart. But prophesying could be, Brother Branham gives examples of different places in the message about somebody saying, you know, for instance, you know, it would be actually a message directly to somebody that, you know, hey, look, you know, such and such is going to happen tomorrow, such time, don't go there. You know, and he said it would be a direct message to somebody that would be a help to them that could easily be understood. And Paul said that is greater than speaking in an unknown tongue. And you know, I've actually been in services, and I want you to realize this, friend. Whenever I've been in a church that was like that or whatever, I always gave respect. I was never disrespectful to them while I was there in their midst. I was never disrespectful to them. I never acted disrespectful, you know. I didn't, while they were speaking in tongues in the church and that, I didn't get up and challenge them about it. You know, as I realized, you know, that's what their teaching was. That's what they, you know, they believed. And that, and so, and then I remembered, you know, that Brother Billy Paul saying that, you know, remember when Brother Branham actually brings this out and says that Demas Shakarian's sister, Brother Branham had prophesied and said, she's going to die. And so then in that service, there was somebody that got up and spoke in an unknown tongue, and then somebody interpreted and said she wasn't going to die, she was going to live. And so Brother Billy Paul says to him, he says, Daddy, but you said she was going to die. And Brother Branham said, oh, she is going to die. He said, but they just spoke in tongues, and Brother Branham said, respect that. Don't show disrespect toward that. You see? And so, you know, when I've been in the services and that and had them all speaking in tongues like this here, you know, one would speak in tongues here and another speaking in tongues there, another speaking in tongues there. But then, you know, being there and witnessing that and seeing that, I can totally understand what Paul was saying here, that somebody comes in and hears that and they think, well, what in the world's going on? I don't understand any of these people. Doesn't make any sense. Paul actually used the word, they think you're a bunch of barbarians. You know, it wouldn't be edifying to anyone. But Paul says, if someone come in and somebody actually says something that they can understand in a language they can understand, then, you know, and prophesies, reveals the secrets of the hearts and things like that, he said, then that individual then, you know, there's something they can be held accountable for. And it's also something that, you know, take a person, let's take it this way. Let's say that there was a person and God was, that weren't coming to church and that, but God was dealing on their hearts and they felt to come, and they came, and when they come, there was just people speaking in unknown tongues here and there throughout the church and things like that. That wouldn't do nothing for them. But if revelation was being spoke, if it was being things spoke that they could understand, then you realize then that person, you know, if they were seeking God and God was pulling their heart, then there's something that actually that they can be edified from, something that can reach them, something that can help them. But, you know, I've been around in my time, my experience of things that I've witnessed and been through in that, even in messy churches. And I can remember years ago when my father had first started the work that is the church up there now. When he first started it about 41 years ago, it was back in September. And, you know, when it first started out, I remember the people that, it wasn't as many people as it is today, but I remember the people that were there. And I'll tell you this, a lot of the ones, there were many that were there when we started the work that actually are no longer with them. Many of them that actually, some that actually even left the message, and then there were some that actually they didn't say they left the message, they just left the church, and they still say they believe Brother Branham, and you know every once in a while they'll show up or pop in or visit or something, you know, and they've you know, or visit different message churches and things like that, but they don't ever go anywhere they call home anymore. You know, but I remember that there were individuals that began to, one individual in particular began to question Brother Browning, you know, about, you know, well, if the Spirit of God's with us, then how come we ain't having more of the gifts operating in our church? That to them, to say that the Spirit of God was with us, then there should have been gifts operating in the church. But actually, when they were saying gifts operating in the church, the one thing that they actually were stuck on was the speaking in tongues. And I actually saw one time in a service, and this was, I don't remember how many years ago this was, but it had been since that I had actually came here and was pastoring here. I went back up there to the church in Ohio and was visiting for some meetings, and I don't remember if I was preaching or who was preaching, but anyway, my father-in-law, you know, the Spirit of the Lord would move on him at times, and he would speak in tongues and then interpret, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on him at the end, the close of this service, and he spoke in tongues, and when he did, this same particular individual that at the beginning used to question the pastor about, you know, there being gifts in the church and that, he no longer actually came and attended, but he had come for that meeting, he, like I said, to pop in every once in a while. And all of a sudden, then he stood up and you know, started to speak like as if he was interpreting what had been spoken in unknown tongues. And when he did, he was rebuked. And then the real interpretation for it came. And so, you know, where was he getting this from? There was a spirit that was on him. But I can tell you, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Just like Brother Branham talked about these witch doctors and that spoke in unknown tongues. It wasn't the Holy Spirit on them that was causing him to speak in an unknown tongue. You know, Brother Branham said the devil can imitate any of those things. The thing that gets him is he can't imitate the revealing of the word. He can't imitate the word. That'll get him every time, Brother Branham says. He can't produce that. But can the devil imitate these other things to make it look like that you know, the gifts are there and work? Yeah, the devil can do it. Now, people who speak in unknown tongues, is it the Spirit of the Lord on them that calls them to speak in an unknown tongue? You know, Brother Branham, he never said it wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. Realize this, Brother Branham, remember Brother Branham preached the message about false anointed ones at the end time? Brother Branham said the anointing wasn't false, it was the men that were false. And what they were saying was false. Anyway, Paul said, you know, the thing, he said, we should speak in a meaningful voice, something that, you know, it would be edifying and exhortation and comfort to the church. And he said, I'd rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, and the church may receive edifying. So, you know, this emphasis on speaking in tongues, and you know, I've got nothing, I believe in speaking in tongues, all right? I know that there are brothers and even preachers in this message and that speak in tongues and things like that. But the thing about it is that it's only edifying if it's interpreted, Paul said. And he said the greater thing would be to prophesy. So, you know, that really, Paul in this chapter really takes the emphasis off of speaking in unknown tongues. Amen. Let's stand. I like going through these teachings from Corinthians. There's a lot of teaching and doctrine in there. Brings a lot to your understanding. And I when I studied on this, was studying on this for this message for tonight, you know, I thought of all the different times that I've preached and, you know, how I've said, you know, that speaking in tongues was not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. As I was studying on this tonight, I thought, well, I just wanted to go in and really sink the thing in and show it by the scriptures, you know, the Holy Ghost, it wasn't, you know, speaking in unknown tongues, and show it by the scripture. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for this time that we've had to come, Lord, and to read your word, Father, and be taught from it, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you will bless the people now, dear God. And Lord, as many of them, Lord, have work and things tomorrow, I pray you'll watch over them, keep them safe. Lord, help them on their jobs and so forth, dear God. And I pray you'll bring us back here at the appointed time on Sunday. And Lord, I ask again, Lord, for Brother Todd. Lord, he texted me, Lord, and said that he was sick with a stomach virus. I ask, God, that you will touch him, dear God, and heal him, dear God, from this thing, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for others that weren't able to be here for some reason tonight. Lord, you know where they are and why they weren't able to be here. And Lord, if they got a need, I pray you'll meet that need, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.